I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming your way momentarily, the Nick Sirianni midweek press conference. This should be interesting. It's been quite a week every time Nick speaks, so we'll see what he has in store for you today. We'll bring that to you in its entirety coming up in just a little bit here. This hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly, and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors for Popeyes. Elliot later in the show. We also have to get to the Trey Turner thing, because that was a wild back and forth yesterday with Dombrowski and Tim Kelly, who we know here. He used to be with us at Odyssey. And I thought Dombrowski just missed the mark totally on that conversation about Trey Turner. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Julia in Reading. Hey, Julia.
Hi, how are you guys? Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, we appreciate that, Julia. We're good. What are you thinking about today?
Well, I appreciate Topper for the season, and I appreciated very little of Dombrowski yesterday. I think there's a difference between, as you said, the marathon, the calm, cool, they're professionals, let them work it out. We don't need team meetings mentality of Topper through the year. And you can see from the last couple of years, each year the team got better in season. But we got worse in post, and I think that's because we need a different energy for post. You don't have a long runway, and we run out of time. We run out of at-bats. We run out of energy. That last home game was spectacular, and I knew as soon as we hit that, we were done for the season because that's what we do. We do one great, and then we're done. And so, I wasn't really thrilled with that. With that presser, and there was a presser before the post where Dombrowski said, if not this year, there's always next, before we even got into the post. And I thought, that's telling. He did not have that energy he had 2-3 years ago where he was running around the stadium, where he was everywhere. Wasn't the same energy. And I think that calmness, which is great through the season, killed us.
Yeah, there's because a there's sense of urgency that you have to have it in the postseason. And it seems like, Julia, they think maybe they'll have it next year. Like, they'll just magically have it. And I think they need to mix this thing up a little bit. Bring in some players who are maybe more built for the postseason and their games translate better October. Because if we're just going to run it back next year and expect Trey Turner to not swing at bad pitches in October, I think we're going to have a similar ending, unfortunately.
And I think the other part of that is we rely on our team to be the leaders instead of the coaches, which is fine in the season. But in the post, those leaders, when they frustrate the whole team. You got, Harper getting mad at a bat, that goes through the clubhouse. And if you don't have a coach or, a manager pulling that negative out right away, that's like a cancer. It goes right through. And so then, all the bats are going to go silent because if, Harp can't do it, then why can I? That kind of a mentality, even if they're not thinking it, it's just group dynamic. That's why one good play can ignite the team for the rest of the game. Well, one bad play can do the same.
Well, and they're proof of that. I mean, and then the Mets on the other side are proof of it, too, because they just one little thing got them going, and they came back in those games. And, Julie, I think you're spot on. We appreciate the call. Appreciate you being a listener to the show. It's almost like they can't see what's in front of them. Because I just go back to this. 2 years ago when they made their run, what's the difference, right? Because they had a lot of the same players, but I feel like some of the players they've moved on from, they're missing what those guys brought. I'll give you two. Gene Segura. Mm-hmm. I just went back and looked. In 2022... his contact percentage, which just means when he swung, how often did he hit the ball into play? It was over 80%. He put the ball in play. He didn't strike out much. I mean, sometimes he swung at pitches that were not quite strikes, but he had a real great knack for putting the bat on the ball and making contact. I can think of a hit he had over the second base beside. I think it was against San Diego Game 3 here.
Mm-hmm.
Segura, or it was either Game 3 or Game 4. He did that all the time.
Is that was the contact hit. Contact hit.
He made contact.
Yeah.
And Trey Turner's supposed to be that, but he doesn't make quite as much contact. And I'll go to another one. Rhys Hoskins, right? That's one we've talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He took pitches. He grinded at bats. I'm not saying they're missing those particular players. Segura is done now, and Hoskins is probably on the decline, but they're missing those kind of players.
You know what this feels eerily similar to me? It feels like in football when, you know, we have a team that everything is about throwing the ball down the field, vertical passing game. But in the playoffs, it's a straight running game. And whoever can control the clock and grind the clock out is the one that tends to win the game. You know, we talked like the other night, you looked at the Dodgers and the Mets playing. They got put 9 on them. Then the Mets come back the other night, and they put a bunch of runs on the board.
Yep.
It's about being able to move runners when they're in scoring position and play that small ball that we're talking about. And a lot of times during the NLDS, when we were looking at it, it was one of those things where we put guys on base and we stranded them, you know, or we didn't put guys on base. So it was one of those things where we had to do a better job of that.
I also would have loved to hear yesterday Dabrowski say something to the effect of, hey, we know there are areas we need to be better at to win in the postseason, and we expect our guys to get better at those areas, and if they don't, we'll have to change the thing up. Like, it just was a sense of, well, we think they could get better. Okay, well, why didn't they get better at it from 2022 to 2023? It's like, that doesn't, and 2023 to 2024, it just, the whole thing yesterday was, it was frustrating to listen to those guys, especially, and most especially, Dave Dabrowski, because he's the one that is the leader of the whole thing. He's been around for 40 years in Major League Baseball. He's seen a lot of champions. He's led a couple of them with the Marlins, with the Red Sox, and it just felt like, what are you going to do? It's baseball. I mean, like that, and that doesn't fly. Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Ah, Joey G. How are you, fellas?
What's up, Dustin?
Living the dream. Listen, real quick, before I get on my sports point, I try to get in on Friday Fridays. Did you guys check out the new TV series, The Penguin, yet?
No, but
I tried to watch it.
You don't like it?
I haven't seen the third episode. I didn't like the first two. But people keep telling me I need to go back.
I liked the character in the Batman movie a couple years ago, so I want to try this out. Is it good?
Oh, dude, it's a great show. I can't get enough of it. I think it's
pretty good.
You like it? You like it, Kyle? I couldn't get past the first two, but I get the premise.
The first one was really good.
You like the first one?
Yeah.
I thought the first one was awesome, too. Yeah. I thought it was great. I think it's a really – it wasn't what I was expecting at all, right, Kyle? I mean, it's like – I wasn't expecting him to be like involved with like mobsters and stuff.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that either.
We actually have Sirianni sitting down. Sorry, Dustin.
All right, let's get to Sirianni here. We appreciate it, Dustin.
Go ahead.
I think we've talked about other players going back to teams they've played for in the past and controlling that emotion. But for Saquon going back to where, you know, he still has friends and stuff, what does this game mean to him?
Yeah, I'd like to let him answer that question. I know he's going to have to probably answer that question all week. I'm excited for him. You know, every opportunity he gets to put on this jersey, you know, I get excited for him. I know, you know, obviously there's always emotion in this game. It's an emotional game. And so I think the most important thing for him is just to be able to, you know, all Saquon has to do is go out and be himself. Because he's a hell of a football player, he's a hell of a leader. He's, you know, and so many good qualities that he has. And you want to be able to control the emotions as the game goes, not to be too up, not be too down, but play the next play.
How much did the ideas of what you can do with a running back expand with Saquon?
Yeah, anytime you have a big time running back like that, you always think about how you're going to get the guy the football, and so it's never like, hey, you know, well, this place we ran this, and this place we ran this, and this is what our system is. You do everything you can do to get players the ball, and do things that they do well. I mean, that's the focus of any coach is what do our players do well, and you know what can we do, you know, what can we do with them. And so, obviously, we've looked at backs that we've used in the past and how we've used them in the past, you know, from our different teams and even different teams here. But then you also study some other teams. You know, what does team A or team B do to get their running back to the ball? So, and again, it's all about fitting the skill set of your players. Fortunately for Saquon, I don't think there's anything he doesn't do well. Right? He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He needs it ultra quick. And that's what you look for in any running back.
Now, that you have a bigger sample size, you know, with different defensive schemes, are you noticing defenses maybe trying to do some different things to try and take Saquon away?
Yeah, anytime you have unique players, a good attack on offense, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get different things than you see on tape. And we expect that. And we've had a good running game here for a while. So you see different things, and that's been evident of our teams throughout my whole time here. And so, you know, when that happens, you have to be ready to adjust. Hey, the plan said to do this. Well, sometimes the plan changes, right? And so you have to be ready to adjust with the answers that you have, but while still doing what your players can execute well.
Nick, when you offer up that you've called plays that have failed for in certain circumstances, and we spoke to both Kellen and Vic about this, they said that your interaction with them isn't any different than really they've had with other head coaches. What is your objective in putting that information out there?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I feel like probably I don't know who said it. John maybe asked me the other day, like, are you giving them too much information? Probably. So I probably won't give that information to you guys anymore.
Get me in trouble.
But, you know, probably give you too much information that, you know, probably rethink that. I think at the end of the day, I think somebody asked me this, but at the end of the day, I want to be accountable for the things that make no mistake about it. Everything that is on that field and every product that is on that field has my accountability on it. So if there's a mistake on that field, then that belongs to me. As minute as you could think of that mistake being, and I really believe that, and I really think that way, in the sense of like, okay, this guy missed a tackle in space. Well, did I put him in positions to make that tackle? Did I help him? Did I help him with that? And so that's constantly on my mind of how we do that. And so, you know, again, if I want these players to have accountability for the things that they didn't do right, in the only the attempts to get better, then I better do it myself.
Nick, Vic was talking yesterday about how young you guys are on defense, and you think about it, Slay and BG are really the only guys in the regular rotation who are over like 27, 28. What are the positives, I guess, and the negatives of having that young a group on one side of the
Sure. Ball? Obviously, you know, when you play together, you gel together, you get more time together. The more plays you play in this league, you know, the more you see, the more football IQ you're going to gain. When you watch the Bulls documentary, and Michael Jordan talked about in the game against the Celtics when he scored 63 points, he's like, I just let my youth and my energy go, and I didn't stop. And he said something like that. And I kind of felt like that, like especially seeing Coop on the field, like I just saw his youth in his energy. Now, did we make some mistakes? Sure, we made some mistakes, but I saw him flying to the football. I saw him being physical and violent when he got to the football. And that's for a lot of guys, but I'm thinking about Coop just in my mind right now. And so when that happens, it's exciting. You know, that can be really exciting because you got youth and energy of just flying around to the football. But it's our job as coaches and their job as players to learn the plan, try to put themselves in situations. We try to put them in situations so that we're accelerating that play as much as we possibly can as far as the football IQ goes. And that's where walkthrough comes in and practice comes in.
Anything prior to the bye, the turnovers were certainly a problem you guys were dealing with. Didn't turn it over against the Browns and had a turnover worthy play. I'm curious, was there something you did during the bye that you implemented that game that you think worked especially well?
I think so. Just I don't know if I need to – I always want to help you guys do your job. I think you guys know that. I just want to keep some of that in-house. But we thought a lot about it, and now I think we did some things that were different, not necessarily with how you protect it, but, you know, some of the things that the way you kind of go about protecting it and drill it and this and that. So we spent a lot of time on that. And the big emphasis that we want to continue moving on is, you know, we want to take the football away. And, you know, this was a turnover that Reed had, and just want to celebrate that when we do that. Because we know that when we win that turnover battle, we have a good chance of winning. And that's the entire league, not just the Philadelphia Eagles. But we've been pretty good at it when we have. And so the emphasis that we're – I mean, you guys see it. You guys see out there on when we do drills and stuff like that what our emphasis are. And, you know, the ball, taking care of the ball was a big thing. And I think the stat of, you guys can look this up, but I think the stat of us, when we don't turn it over all, forget about winning the turnover battle, but when we don't turn it over at all, we're at like 16-5. And so it's always going to start with us of how we protect the football offensively and how we take it away defensively.
Nick Saquon had a rough stretch at the end of the first half. Where he went out of bounds and before the mark, and then the block. When he does that, when he has a rough stretch, what's he like on the sideline? It probably was not his best game, maybe his worst game of the year. What's he like after that?
Again, like I can't say enough good things about him and all the plays that he makes for this football team and the things that, like, even though there might be a mistake that, you know, we can point out, but, like, all the things he does when the ball's not even in his hands and the attention that the defense has. And so I want to say that first and foremost, like, everyone's going to make mistakes during the game. It's not a perfect game. When you're battling and striving for something great, there's going to be errors along the way. There's going to be mistakes along the way. And so those happen. When he has a mistake, I just see a guy who just pushes it out and goes to the next play. I really do. And he's great when other guys have a mistake of just being there to lift him up. He's a great teammate. You know, he leads not only by his play and the person he is, but by example, right? You know, and so that's what you want out of any of your leaders. I know he doesn't have a C on his chest for captain, but I have no doubt that he's one of the main leaders on this football team.
And on your run, how he and Jalen kind of make each other better, what have you noticed about that so far?
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Mark.
How he and Jalen make each
other Saquon?
Better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, you got two guys in the backfield that can really create explosive plays. So, and I'm not really impressed by how much they work as far as one thing that's not simple, but I think it gets looked at as simple, is the ball handling in the backfield, especially when you're running zone reads or RPOs or things like that, because there takes how does Saquon know he's not getting the ball? He doesn't. He's got to, like, and so they work so hard together at that. And so I really admire that, of how much Jamal, our running back coach, and Doug, our quarterback coach, do to put them in positions, but then all the extra work that Jalen and Saquon do together, because they know that they can't be great without the greatness of others. That's why this is such a cool team sport. You can't be great without the greatness of others. And then, you know, I think it's when you do run those plays, it's like, all right, pick your poison of which one you want. And so I think that's it really is on display on some of those plays of, you know, what do you want to stop? Okay, cool. Now you got to go to the other guy. So, again, I just go back to that line. You can't be great without the greatness of others.
Divisional matchups.
We'll see. You know, obviously still have time here. You know, I don't expect them to do much at practice today. We'll see how that goes. I don't ever want to put a cap on a guy that I know is going to work his butt off to get back. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, he's tough. Dallas is ultra tough. And if anybody can get back to playing faster than what you might anticipate, it's Dallas Goedert.
The players on the depth chart are basically the same as it's been in the past when Dallas has been hurt. But obviously Grant has a bigger role now. How do you think you're different at that spot than when he missed Dallas in the past?
Man, I just think the development of Grant. You know, and Jack Stoll's done a nice job, and I like CJ and EJ, you know, and Albert O, and, you know, the guys that are on the practice squad, and so I just think one, but, you know, to single Grant out, and Grant's just been on the rise since training, you know, since off season and OTAs and during training camp, and then, you know, doing stuff when he doesn't get opportunities with the ball. Like, I love the play of Grant when he slice blocked the guy at New Orleans, and he sacrificed his body in Saquon's lane, and it scores a touchdown, and Grant's laying on the ground like this. It's such a cool, again, you can't be great without the greatness of others in this unbelievable game. He's done it without the ball, and then he had a chance to do it with the ball. And so I think just Grant has developed he's really worked. Jason Michael's done an awesome job of developing him. And all the credit goes to Grant, though, for how much work he's put in, how much talent he has, And I think, you know, there's a chemistry there with Jalen and Grant as well, you know, with Jalen playing with him in college. And so all those things factor in. And I, but at the end of the day, Grant has done, you know, has been everything we expected as a draft pick when we took him a couple years ago and then some, and he just keeps getting better. And I'm really excited about, as bummed as I could be if Dallas is out, I'll be really excited about his opportunity like he got last week. Yeah, I'm excited for him.
Nick, I've got time for two more.
On the run game you were talking about.
But I already got him.
Nick, I know you try to insulate yourself from criticism as much as possible, but when it is as loud as it has been this week, how do you deal with it on a personal level, and has that changed throughout your time on the job?
No, just try to, you know, again, control what you can control, and that's – and all my focus and energy is on this football team and how we get better today. You know, the – and that's all my energy can be focused on is how we get how we go out there today. You know, we're still in meetings. You know, we're having a little break right now, but then we'll go back to meetings, and it's going to have to be high detail in meetings. And that starts with me as the coach of do I put them in every position that they possibly can be in, and then, you know, full speed to the snap and walk through. When your mind is focused on that, like when your mind's focused on other things, then you're not going to get. I think John Wooden has a quote, and I had it last week, but when your mind's focused on other things that you can't control, the things you can control don't get as good as they possibly can. He didn't say it like that. I brutalized that right there. But if I'm focusing on things that I can't control, then I can't do my job is to get – if I want these guys to get better every single day, I better work on getting better every single day. And sometimes that getting better is, you know, it's always about admitting your mistakes, whether it's after a game, whether it's during the game, whether it's something you did at practice. And so that's my only focus and my only goal.
Last one.
There's no handbook to being an NFL coach. I wonder in your years here, how do you feel like you've evolved as far as how to handle the non-football parts of the job, interfacing with fans and media? And is there, are you still kind of trying to strike a balance of like how much to show and be your authentic self and how, you know, when and how to rein that in?
Sure. I think you always have to be your authentic self, but you know what, maybe your authentic self's only, you know, for your players and for in the building. Right. And there's a time and place for that. I'm not going to stop thanking the fan at any away game. I'm not going to stop thanking the fans after a win on the away games to, you know, that I can do some of that and be your authentic self while still, you know, keep, you know, again, but you're always a work in progress. Like I think I've made a lot of strides in as far as my composure during the game. That not being said, this at a certain time after this week, I think this is probably the wrong time to say that, but you know what? You're never going to be perfect. You always got to stay true to yourself, and you're always trying to improve yourself. And so, but it's not, like I said, this is how climbing and getting better of the things that you want to get better at as a man, as a person, it goes like this, right? It goes like this. We'd all love it for it to do this, but that's not the reality of life. That's not the reality of getting better. That's not the reality of growth mindset. You have setbacks, you have falls as you go. I think it's just learning from those things and try to still be on this path, even though you know there's going to be some dips in that path.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There was the Nick Sirianni press conference. We got some John Wooden quotes in there.
There.
Climbing, whatever that was at the end. Well, there was short talking in the beginning. Then we got to some long talking towards the end.
He did a good job, though, man. Listen, as a guy who understands and relates to Coach Sirianni, I got to give a shout out to the PR squad, my man Bob, because they did a great job of keeping him clear and concise. I told you when the press conference started, I said he's talking slow on purpose, because I sometimes when I want to get my point across and not flub stuff,
exactly,
got to slow it down a little bit and realize you're not talking as fast as you think you are, and just try not to let your mind go on the roller coaster ride and get ahead of everything.
Yeah.
He did a good job of that, man. And nobody's perfect. The fact that, you know, he kind of started long talking at the end. He brought it back in. But I think he's in a good space now, man. I do. And I know that a lot of people are like probably listening to that. I don't care. I don't care. They're probably already out on Coach Sirianni.
Of course
but
they
I think
are.
It's, dude, it's Wednesday. This is the first day of practice. Let that man cook. Now.
Let him cook. This is year four of this guy.
Joe, don't kill my vibe. We got 12 games, dog. Don't kill my vibe. Don't kill it.
I'm letting you cook. I'm just
saying, we got 12 games.
I'm just trying
we
to look,
got, and
shut
it
up.
Starts with this one Sunday.
I'm looking out for you, Hugh. I don't want you to this one might hurt.
Ike said he going. He gonna ride with me though. Ike said he ride with me to Louisiana. He said he ride.
Yeah, you both taking a week of vacation? Because I don't know if we're all going to be there with
we
you.
We're going to all be there together.
Yeah, all right. 215-592-9494. More of your calls on the Phillies. Did yesterday's press conference bother you? Your reaction to Sirianni's press conference there and the McClain report that that higher-ups with Eagles were embarrassed at what happened on Sunday. Elliot will join us at 1, and we'll do a What If Wednesday based on a back-and-forth we heard about Trey Turner yesterday. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. All right, guys, guess what? Myself and a lot of you out there, as you get older, your hair thins. So what do? You could put some stuff on it. You could go to the store and grab some cream, or you could visit an expert. That's what I did. I visited my friend Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to all that's available, including the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant, a procedure so many should consider. Are you newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Dr. Rafi, he can help. Call Dr. Rafi at 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit Philly Hair. MD.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. How are you feeling after that press conference? What a week for press conferences around here.
I'm optimistic.
Hopeful Hugh.
I just am.
Delusional Douglas. We got him with us today. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls here on all things Phillies. As yesterday, today's press conference here didn't bother me. I mean, it was, but it was. The Phillies one yesterday bothered me with Dombrowski just basically shrugging the shoulders like, hey, it's baseball. What are you going to do? Well, get better players. Figure it out. Shake the mix up. Don't act like you can't figure it out. And the one quote that I keep coming back to, and this is about their chase rate in the postseason, quote, it's not good, but it's not the worst.
That's not good, but it's not the worst.
Print the t-shirts. Phillies 2024, it's not good, but it's not the worst. The post-October, red
October.
You got to
start somewhere, man.
Start somewhere.
Yeah.
They have a $250 million payroll.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not justifying it, but I understand it to a certain extent. You have to start somewhere. Hey, I'm not the worst. I'm not the best, but I ain't the worst.
But you're supposed to be the best.
Yeah, you are.
That's the whole point.
It's you have to read the room. You definitely have to read the room.
You know what? On that. Quickly, I thought as the week has gone on, Sirianni's gotten a little better handle on reading the room. Sunday, he read the room as bad as I've ever seen. Monday, a little bit better with the apology. Today, I thought was his best reading of the room.
He's been, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, he's listened to the people in the room around him that has his best interest in mind, and his message has become clear. Mm-hmm. That's what I've noticed from it, because sometimes I get like that. Emotional, and my mouth talks faster than my brain, or the other way around, however it goes. And that's basically what he did. He was clear and concise today, and I think that was important because he is still the leader, and people mess up. Players mess up, man.
Yeah.
So he did a good job. He did a good job today at a press conference.
Everybody.
Why has Asai Reddick been on four of the freaking football teams? And you know what? It's since you wanted to play that, Kyle, that was my Coach Sirianni moment. But I'm okay now. But
I don't give a shit.
But hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm okay now.
There's a major difference.
What?
You're a talk show host. I think now obviously you got to watch what you say. But there's a thing where like once in a while we all kind of blow our top, right? Mm-hmm. It was entertaining. He's not a talk show host. He's the leader of 53 football players.
But can I say this? And this is going to be triggering. So I'm gonna tell you it's going to trigger you right
okay,
now.
Okay. All right.
He's human.
He's human.
I'm just saying. That's the
We're
fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback. No, he's human. He had a moment. He had a moment, Joe. Get that man a pass. He had a moment. He had a moment. And he was caught up, and he lost it. He lost his lunch for a while.
He's human.
He's only human, of flesh and blood, a man. He is just a man living in his big blue world.
All right, let's get back to the phones here, because we're going off the rails. TR is in Winfield. Hey, TR.
What's up, TR? He missed the moment.
TR, come on now.
I mean, come on.
You're better than that. John in Allentown. What's up, John?
Yep. What's up, guys?
How are we doing, man? John? John, you got to turn that radio down. Turn that radio down in the background, John.
That's you. It's your echo.
No radio. I'm outside, guys. Oh. There's no radio. Yeah. I'm running from somebody's dog or something.
Be careful, John.
Hey, man, listen. Yeah, I picture Sirianni, like, you know, remember the movie Taxi Driver? You know, in the mirror, shaving his head.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. That's a good movie.
I'm going to do things my way now. You know, I think they should search for Britney Spears' dad, see if he can take over Sirianni, you know, take care of him or something. Because he's in trouble, that dude.
Yeah, it's not going well. Yeah, we're going the wrong direction here, John.
She had a nice run, though.
Oh, Brittany or
yeah, she
Nick?
Had a nice run.
She did have a good run, yeah. And then what
hey
happened?
Guys, about the Phillies guys. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who wants to throw away their gear or anything, hey, let me know because you know I'll take it because that stuff's expensive, man.
That's what I'm saying. That ain't cheap.
Yeah, he ain't throwing that stuff away. He's just talking trash. Because, you know, my stuff is expensive, and I don't care what the Phillies do. I paid for that stuff. So, I mean, I'm going to have it for when they actually are, you know, play better. But I have to say, I have to confess, since I turned 30 years old and I'm 25 now, I have purchased a jersey every single year. Maybe not for myself, for one of my kids or somebody, but every year. I did not purchase one this year.
Wow.
Because I'm like, who do I purchase a jersey for? I'm not turned on by anybody here. I already have the guys
turned on
that I like.
Crazy.
You know, so I didn't buy anything. You know, I just said, you know, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket. And I'm going to tell you, I think Dave's playing poker. And I could appreciate some, but he should have put some kind of disappointment in his voice. Because it didn't sound like he was disappointed to me.
Well, that's what frustrated me about it. Just the tone yesterday. You got to read the room. That was interesting, that whole situation. Did I hear that right? I think John said, I think I heard him say, since I turned 30,
yeah,
and I'm 25 now.
You heard that.
Can
you
I know need what to else find I'm out on? That aging curve. I want to go on that one.
You know what else I'm stuck on
that?
Now? He didn't find nobody to see he was turned on by. What does that mean?
I don't know. Me neither. All right, let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Bruce,
today?
We're trying to keep it together in here. We got Brittany Ani over here shaving their head. It's a lot.
Man, I'm sitting up here laughing, man. Y'all got me. Look, y'all trying. Hey, because I'm going to tell you, I had the doo-doo brown frown on my face, man, for a minute. You know, that, y'all got me laughing for a hot second before I start talking.
We've lost you.
Okay, stop.
Okay, I'm good. My bad, Bruce. Go ahead, I got Bruce. You. I got you, dog. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Well, look, I'll just start with, because I want to start with yesterday, and maybe I can get in a brief point about Sirianni, but I was one of those. I'm going to tell you, I was just so, I'm still annoyed by that whole conference, because, you know, it's a shame when you get up here, and it's like you said, you got to read the room. You got to read who you're talking to. You're talking to the fans, and basically you just told the fans, you gave the fans the middle finger and say, you know what? Nothing's going to change because they won the division. And unlike the other owners in the city that have made conscious changes, especially at the ire of the fan base, they're not going to do anything about it. And I just don't see where this thing, how this is going to play out next year. But I tell you what, you know, I'm emotionally invested, probably like many fans. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to come out with the same thing next year, and they're playing and their batting is still crappy. Or even if they start winning at the beginning of the year, I'm going to turn into a passive fan. I'm not going to waste my time, my money, and my energy if nothing is being done and we don't see any improvements at all. And that's basically where I'm at with the Phillies. And I love the Phillies. I want them to do well. But it seems like the management doesn't give a damn about what needs to be done to fix this team.
Yeah, look, Bruce, it's not good, but it's not the worst. When you hear that from a press conference, it doesn't come across as they're dying to fix this. It's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, but anyway, now on to Sirianni. You know, this guy, I'm going to tell you what my take is on. I'm going to tell you, I think that they're setting him up for failure. They said, you know what, we're going to let you pull the strings. And I'm going to tell you, they are one bad loss. I think that if we lose against in this next set of teams that we don't have any business losing to, they take one more bad loss. Sirianni's out of there, and they're going to elevate Kellen to head coach until the end of the year and see how this shakes out.
It could. But, I mean, Bruce, they rarely do this. Obviously, Chip was axed towards the end of the season, and Bruce, we appreciate it. It's not out of the realm. I mean, when you have a head coach, you know, jousting with fans on the sideline, you know, anything's possible now. Like, we've removed the normalcy from this season. We have gone to a different level here for
this
season.
And that's why it feels like Sunday's game is going to be huge. I know it's the Giants, but it's just huge because of the way that this team is going to respond. I hope they respond in a positive way.
Well,
I really, really do.
To the point of how people perceive them now, we got the news yesterday. They've been flexed out of a game.
Yeah.
So next Sunday,
They're not the hot new hotness anymore.
No, next Sunday, the Eagles and Bengals in week 8 were scheduled as a 425 game. That's a big window, the 425. There's always like one big major.
It's only like, what, two or three games being played that day, something like that.
And usually one of the networks has the standalone whole country season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's CBS, they'll send Romo and Nance. If it's Fox, it's obviously Brady. And that was the Eagles. I don't know if that was supposed to be CBS or Fox next weekend, but either way, they were either going to be the Brady game or the Romo game next Sunday.
Who did they get flexed out for, though?
The Commanders Bears.
Man, Joe, I can't lie. If I wasn't working, that's the game that I would want to tune into.
Well, now we get to watch it because we watched the Eagles at one and then Commanders Bears at four.
Because you have two young up-and-coming quarterbacks that just got into the league that one looks like he is something special and the other one is starting to come into his own. And y'all know just by my description which one I'm talking about. Because Jaden Daniels is the young man that came in and Joe – I hope you put some money on it, because he looks like the Commodores might be all right.
Yeah, they are, and they're a problem for us. But so that game was flexed in. But that says a lot about where the networks think this Eagles season is
and
going.
Caleb Williams has had a nice couple of weeks, last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yes, so that was flexed out. I think we also may be getting that Jaguars game flexed out of Sunday night.
Yeah,
2 weeks
trying,
from now.
Ain't nobody trying to see the Jaguars. They don't even want the Jaguars to come back to the States. They left him in what, the U.K.?
You think they'll leave Doug there if they lose this weekend to the Patriots?
He might want to stay for a little while. He might pull a who did it? Who was it? Who was the coach that left and was in the bar with the
Urban,
little lady?
Urban Meyer.
He's going to pull a Urban Meyer. He's going to pull a Urban Meyer. Y'all remember that?
Of course.
Urban stayed up and had some young lady. He was at the bar. She was just sitting there talking to him. And his family doubled down and backed him up.
Is Sirianni yelling at the fan the wackiest coach thing since Urban Meyer stayed at the bar with the lady instead of flying home with the team? I'm not saying it's as bad. That was the Urban Meyer thing is worse.
You said Sirianni with the fan?
Like, is this the wackiest head coach moment since Urban Meyer did that in the NFL?
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's almost no way.
Well, what else do we have? I mean, before that was Dan Campbell saying we're going to bite kneecaps in his opening press conference.
That was more funny than anything.
Yeah, it was a little unhinged, but it was funny. Like, what else have we had? Maybe I forgot one. Like, a wacky head coach moment. Because that's what we got on Sunday, right? It was, like, we'll talk about this years from now.
Sirianni yelling at Chiefs fans. Sirianni yelling.
Now we've developed a theme. That's the problem.
He wasn't my ancestors, mm-hmm. The old ancestors. Would be like, he touched. He's turched. They don't say touch. They say turched.
Turched.
He's turched. Yeah, he's turched.
Well, I need him to Turch his way to a win on Sunday over the Giants.
I love this job.
Where else do you get to listen to Britney Spears and talk
every
about football?
Every day and use words like turched and everybody out there listen. Like, what the hell does that mean? What is that?
I think once a day that happens on this show. All right, can we, we haven't done a little while here.
Talk about Jerry?
Well, no, we'll get to Jerry. I think we need to do a little What If Wednesday based on what I heard yesterday. What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
I got one before you give the one that you want.
What do you got?
What? I don't know which way you're going. No, I'm going to let you get yours first because I would mess it up in case.
Uh-oh. All right, how about we'll end
in
with yours.
In case I wasn't paying attention in the meeting.
We'll end with yours, all right?
In case I forgot. You know, sometimes, you know.
Well, that meeting was 3 hours ago, so that's a long time ago. All right, so I was listening to this yesterday, and it got me thinking about a what if. Well, obviously, what if Trey Turner, and what if this whole thing wasn't happening? But first, let's listen to yesterday. Good job, Tim Kelly. You know, he brought the facts at Dave Dombrowski. I don't think he handled them quite well enough. Here was the back and forth yesterday.
Dave, by old and new school metrics, Trey Turner has really struggled defensively since coming here. Will he remain at shortstop moving forward?
Well, when you say that, his metrics are very similar to what they were before he came here in many ways. So Trey has been, he will be our shortstop, yes. He's going to be our shortstop the coming year. But we also feel that sometimes you have to be careful with some of that. And I'm not sure which metrics you're using, but they're not always 100% the defensive. We put some we rely on defensive metrics, but there's also not a perfect way of describing the defensive aspects of the game, as far as we know. He did not have not an outstanding defensive shortstop. He does have good range. He makes really good plays at times. But he also makes too many errors at points. But he has improved. He's worked hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to improve despite his age.
Well, in terms of errors, defensive runs saved, outs above average, he has gone in the wrong direction the last couple of years. Why do you think that will change as he ages?
Well, he works hard. I mean, first of all, he's the rare player, and one of the reasons when he signed for a long-term contract, he's very athletic. And so his speed is still very good. He's still one of the fastest guys in baseball, so I don't think you can compare his aging process to, let's say, the average player. But he's a guy that's just very athletic. He works hard. He's got a good infield instructor in Bobby Dickerson. We saw some strides ourselves this year on some things that he improved upon. So that's why I think he'll get better.
So it's a couple things there. One, heck of a job by Tim Kelly. I mean, I'm not sure if Dave realized Tim was had the numbers ready, and then he brought it right back. Second thing, you know what falls on deaf ears? The he works hard thing. That's great. They all work hard. I mean, like, I expect, isn't that an expectation of a player like Trey Turner? He's of course he works
that
hard.
That was kind of the mantra when we met him. He was talking about how hard he worked and how he prided himself on his work ethic and all. Yeah.
I've never questioned that. I think Trey's trying his hardest. The problem is he's not very good at it. I mean, that's the problem. And I took issue with this. So Dombrowski responded by saying his metrics are similar to when we got him, but he really hasn't declined that much. So my thought is, and my question would be back then, why did you sign him to this contract? Why did you think he could play shortstop for 10 years or 11 years if you already kind of saw this that we are now seeing here as fans, you know, up close for 162 games a year? So that drove me crazy. So it made me think about today's what if, you. What if the Phillies never signed Trey Turner?
Then you would probably have, you know, nobody to be mad at all the time and complain about.
So I'd be happier?
Yeah, I don't know. You wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Be a different target.
That's probably true, too. Yeah, Kyle's right. We'd find someone else.
Well, he's in the crosshair. He would be in the crosshair.
You know what? We would have. So last year, they offered Yamamoto $300 million, right?
Yeah, he didn't want to come.
Okay, but they offered it to him. So they have that money. They gave $300 million. What's 300 plus 300?
Six.
What's Soto going to cost?
More than six.
But six-ish.
But somewhere, six around. There's somewhere you're going to be in that ballpark.
Just saying.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
What if?
I'm not mad at it.
What if? I think we'd be in a better spot. All right, what was your what if, you?
My what if? What if Coach Sirianni would have actually lost to the Browns Sunday? How would our Monday look, and what would he do?
Well, our Monday would have looked like Kellen Moore is the new head coach, because get this guy out of here.
I wonder how much, because I'm thinking now, because Coach Sirianni, in my opinion, he was clearly flummoxed before the game started, and he clearly went at a fan. My question is this: if they were losing, number one, does he go after the fan? And number two, if he does, how does that carry over into the press conference after the game?
Go after the fan after a loss?
Yeah.
Oh, you might as well just put the resignation in there.
That's what I'm saying, because at that point, you know, you Jerry Jones in this thing now. You just blowing this thing all the way up. You know what I mean? Because that's where you are. Because you've lost. You're about to get asked some tough questions. I don't think the kids will be out there then, because at that point, you might as well come out at the press conference with your shirt off, dog. Because this is a wrap. You might well just go in and take your shirt off and sit and have a cold one. Because your next stop is the crib.
Listen, if he shows up to a presser without a shirt on, just get the security officer to escort him out.
I mean, if I'm gonna go unhinged, I'm going full on unhinged.
Well, after you
lost to the Browns, ain't nothing else.
You brought this up. Well, here's a what if for you.
Right.
What do you think would have been worse, the loss to the Browns or the week we had with the win? I think it's better to lose the game if you're him. Like, let's say, would he have gotten crushed more this week for losing a game? Like, coaches lose game all the time.
Definitely.
No, I think this is worse.
No, Joe.
Because if they lose, we could blame the defense. We could blame Jalen.
No, because he's going to catch a lot. Like,
I think this
is worse.
We're
still talking about him beefing with, like, he still cut his hair. That happened before the game was.
That's true.
And I'm saying, what if he's still beefing with, like, he was beefing with the fans?
Well, if they lose, he doesn't have the "I told you so" right. moment with the
fans. He doesn't, but the fans still yelling and screaming.
Right. But so we don't know about say, that. Well, because that's okay. probably just happening
but
anyway.
He's probably still going to come unhinged.
Maybe,
That probably still going to happen.
He still I'm telling did
you,
dog.
I'm just saying, what would you rather for a whole week hearing people say about you nationally? You're bad at your job or you're a clown?
You know, I wouldn't, because I would have came. If it was me, I'm coming out with my shirt off and a beer in my hand. And I'm going I'm to drop a few, you know, colorful words because I know I'm done. Well, at that point, it's blown up, dog. It's a wrap.
I guess the audience now knows what Hugh's final show on WIP one day will sound like.
Why has the Cy Reddick been on four of the freaking football team?
Topless, drinking hand, if curse
and
storm.
If you're going to come unhinged, If that's my last day, my mantra is make it a memorable one. Go all in. Put some chips all the way to the end of the table.
This is why radio hosts usually don't get a last show, because of exactly what you just said.
I'm making it uncomfortable for everybody. I'm cursing on there. I'm calling people. Because at that point, I'm probably done in radio. I'm probably done, so I'm going to blow it up.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
But I'm not there yet, so you know, I'm just saying I'm not gonna do it. But if I did, oh yeah, I'm going hard in the paint.
Well, you're actually making me more excited for the Sirianni press conference the rest of the season. What more could happen? Tune in. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take all your phone calls on the Phils, what you heard yesterday. Did it bother you? That press conference yesterday, specifically Nebraska, I didn't really have a problem with Topper, what he had to say. I'm glad he's back. I'm the Topper guy as a manager. I wanted him back here, but it was Nebraska yesterday. A little flippant, and again, the quote, "It's not good, but it's not the worst," about their chase rate in the postseason, is such a non-championship quote. It's not good, but it's not the worst. How about we get to be the best? I mean, that's the goal. Figure that out. Elliot's going to join us next. He said something yesterday. We can't just let go the way it was. We got to investigate it more. Your calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. How you feeling after that press conference? What a week for press conferences around here.
I'm optimistic.
Hopeful Hugh.
I just am.
Delusional Douglas. We got him with us today. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls here on all things Phillies. As yesterday, today's press conference here didn't bother me. I mean, it was, but it was. The Phillies one yesterday bothered me with Dombrowski just basically shrugging the shoulders like, hey, it's baseball. What are you going to do? Well, get better players. Figure it out. Shake the mix up. Don't act like you can't figure it out. And the one quote that I keep coming back to, and this is about their chase rate in the postseason, quote, it's not good, but it's not the worst.
That's not good, but it's not the worst.
Print the T-shirts. Phillies 2024. It's not good, but it's not the worst. The post October red.
You gotta
October.
Start somewhere, man.
Start somewhere.
Yeah,
they have a $250 million payroll.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not justifying it, but I understand it to a certain extent. You have to start somewhere. Hey, I'm not the worst. I'm not the best, but I ain't the worst.
But you're supposed to be the best.
Yeah, you are.
That's the whole point.
It's you have to read the room. You definitely have to read the room.
You know what? On that. Quickly, I thought as the week has gone on, Sirianni's gotten a little better handle on reading the room. Sunday, he read the room as bad as I've ever seen. Monday, a little bit better with the apology. Today, I thought was his best reading of the room.
He's been, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, he's listened to the people in the room around him that has his best interest in mind, and his message has become clear. Mm. That's what I've noticed from it, because sometimes I get like that. Emotional, and my mouth talks faster than my brain, or the other way around, however it goes. And that's basically what he did. He was clear and concise today, and I think that was important because he is still the leader, and people mess up. Players mess up, man.
Yeah.
So he did a good job. He did a good job today at a press conference.
Everybody.
Why has Asai Reddick been on four of the freaking football teams? And you know what? It's since you wanted to play that, Kyle, that was my Coach Sirianni moment. But I'm okay now. But
I don't give a shit.
But hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm okay now.
There's a major difference.
What?
You're a talk show host. I think there is a now obviously you got to watch what you say. But there's a thing where like once in a while we all kind of blow our top, right? It was entertaining. He's not a talk show host. He's the leader of 53 football players.
But can I say this? And this is going to be triggering. So I'm gonna tell you it's gonna trigger you right
okay,
now.
Okay. All right.
He's human.
He's human.
The look you just gave. I'm just saying. That's the
We're
fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback. No, he's human. He had a moment. He had a moment, Joe. Get that man a pass. He had a moment. He had a moment. And he was caught up, and he lost it. He lost his lunch for a while.
He's human.
He's only human, a flesh and blood, a man. He is just a man living in his big blue world.
All right, let's get back to the phones here because we're going off the rails. TR is in Winfield. Hey, TR.
What's up, TR? He missed the moment.
TR, come on now.
I mean, come on.
You're better than that. John in Allentown. What's up, John?
Yep. What's up, guys?
How are we doing, man? John? John, you got to turn that radio down in the background, John.
That's you. It's your echo.
No radio. I'm outside, guys. Oh. There's no radio. Yeah. I'm running from somebody's dog or something.
Be careful, John.
Hey, man, listen. Yeah, I picture Sirianni, like, you know, remember the movie Taxi Driver? You know, in the mirror, shaving his head.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. That was a good movie.
I'm going to do things my way now. You know, I think they should search for Britney Spears' dad, see if he can take over Sirianni, and, you know, take care of him or something. Because he's in trouble, that dude.
Yeah, it's not going well. Yeah, we're going the wrong direction here, John.
She had a nice run, though.
Who, Brittany or
Yeah, she
Nick?
Had a nice run.
She did have a good run, yeah. And then what happened?
About the Phillies, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody who wants to throw away their gear or anything, hey, let me know because, you know, I'll take it because that stuff's expensive, man.
That's what I'm saying. That ain't cheap.
Yeah, he ain't throwing that stuff away. He's just talking trash because, you know, my stuff is expensive and I don't care what the Phillies do. I paid for that stuff, so. I mean, I'm going to have it for when they actually are, you know, play better. But I have to confess, since I turned 30 years old and I'm 25 now. I have purchased a jersey every single year. Maybe not for myself, for one of my kids or somebody, but every year. I did not purchase one this year.
Wow.
Wow. Cause I did, I'm like, who do I purchase a jersey for? I'm not turned on by anybody here. I already have the guys
turned on
that I like.
Crazy.
You know, so I didn't buy anything. You know, I just said, you know, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket. And I'm going to tell you, I think Dave's playing poker, and I could appreciate it some, but he should have put some kind of disappointment in his voice. Because it didn't sound like he was disappointed to me.
Well, that's what frustrated me about it. Just the tone yesterday. You got to read the room. That was interesting, that whole situation. Did I hear that right? I think John said, I think I heard him say, since I turned 30,
yeah,
and I'm 25 now.
You heard that.
Can
you
know I need to find out on? That aging curve. I want to go on that one.
You know what else I'm stuck on
that?
Now? He didn't find nobody to see he was turned on by. What does that mean?
I don't know. Me neither. All right, let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Bruce, we're trying to keep it together in here. We got Brittany over here shaving their head. It's a lot.
Man, I'm sitting up here laughing, man. Y'all got me. Look, y'all trying. Hey, because I'm going to tell you, I had the doo-doo brown frown on my face, man, for a minute. You know, now y'all got me laughing for a hot second before I start talking.
We've lost you.
I can't stop it. Okay, I'm good. My bad, Bruce.
Go ahead,
I got
Bruce.
You. I got you, dog. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I want to start with yesterday, and maybe I can get in a brief point about Sirianni. But I was one of those. I'm gonna tell you, I was just so. I'm still annoyed by that whole conference because, you know, it's a shame when you get up here and it's like you said, you got to read the room. You got to read who you're talking to. You're talking to the fans, and basically you just told the fans, you gave the fans the middle finger and said, you know what, nothing's going to change because they won the division, and unlike the other owners in the city that have made conscious changes, especially at the ire of the fan base, they're not going to do anything about it. And I just don't see where this thing, how this is going to play out next year. But I tell you what, you know, I'm emotionally invested, probably like many fans. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to come out with the same thing next year, and they're playing and they're batting it still crappy. Or even if they start winning at the beginning of the year, I'm going to turn into a passive fan. I'm not going to waste my time, my money, and my energy if nothing is being done and we don't see any improvements at all. And that's basically where I'm at with the Phillies. And I love the Phillies. I want them to do well. But it seems like the management doesn't give a damn about what needs to be done to fix this team.
Yeah, look, Bruce, it's not good, but it's not the worst. When you hear that from a press conference, it doesn't come across as they're dying to fix this. It's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, but anyway, now, on to Sirianni. You know, this guy, I'm gonna tell you what my take is on. I think that they're setting him up for failure. They said, you know what, we're gonna let you pull the strings. And I'm gonna tell you, they are one bad loss. I think that if we lose against in this next set of teams that we don't have any business losing to, they take one more bad loss. Sirianni's out of there, and they're gonna elevate Kellen to head coach. Until the end of the year and see how this shakes out.
It could. But, I mean, Bruce, they rarely do this. Obviously, Chip was axed towards the end of the season, and Bruce, we appreciate it. It's not out of the realm. I mean, when you have a head coach, you know, jousting with fans on the sideline, you know, anything's possible now. Like, we've removed the normalcy from this season. We have gone to a different level here for
yeah,
this season.
And that's why it feels like Sunday's game is going to be huge. I know it's the Giants, but it's just huge because of the way that this team is going to respond. I hope they respond in a positive way.
Well,
I really, really do.
To the point of how people perceive them now, we got the news yesterday. They've been flexed out of a game.
Yeah.
So next Sunday,
they're not the hot new hotness anymore.
No, next Sunday, the Eagles and Bengals in week 8 were scheduled as a 425 game. That's a big window, the 425. There's always like one big major.
It's only like, what, two or three games played that day, something like that.
And usually one of the networks has the standalone whole country season, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's CBS, they'll send Romo and Nance. If it's Fox, it's obviously Brady. And that was the Eagles. I don't know if that was supposed to be CBS or Fox next weekend, but either way, they were either going to be the Brady game or the Romo game next Sunday.
Who did they get flexed out for, though?
The Commanders-Bears.
Man, Joe, I can't lie. If I wasn't working, that's the game that I would want to tune into.
Well, now we get to watch it because we watched the Eagles at one and then Commanders-Bears at four.
Because you have two young up-and-coming quarterbacks that just got into the league that one looks like he is something special, and the other one is starting to come into his own. And y'all know just by my description which one I'm talking about. Because Jaden Daniels is the young man that came in, and Joe, I hope you put some money on it, because he looks like the Commodores might be all right.
Yeah, they are, and they're a problem for us. So that game was flexed in. But that says a lot about where the networks think this Eagles season is
and
going.
And Caleb Williams had a nice couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yes, so that was flexed out. I think we also may be getting that Jaguars game flexed out of Sunday night.
Yeah,
2 weeks
from now. Ain't nobody trying to see the Jaguars. They don't even want the Jaguars to come back to the States. They left them in what, the UK?
You think they'll leave Doug there if they lose this weekend to the Patriots?
He might want to stay for a little while. He might pull a who did it? Who was it? Who was the coach that left and was in the bar with the little lady?
Urban Meyer.
He's going to pull a Urban Meyer. Y'all remember that?
Of course.
Urban stayed up and had some young lady. He was at the bar. She was just sitting there talking to him. And his family doubled down and backed him up.
Is Sirianni yelling at the fan the wackiest coach thing since Urban Meyer stayed at the bar with the lady instead of flying home with the team? I'm not saying it's as bad. That was the Urban Meyer thing is worse.
You said Sirianni with the fan?
Like, is this the wackiest head coach moment since Urban Meyer did that? In the NFL.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. There's almost no way.
Well, what there else we have? I mean, it was before that. I think before that was Dan Campbell saying we're going to bite kneecaps in his opening press conference.
That was more funny than anything.
Yeah, it was a little unhinged, but it was funny. Like, what else have we had? Maybe I forgot one. Like a wacky head coach moment. Because that's what we got on Sunday, right? It was like, we'll talk about this years from now.
Sirianni yelling at Chiefs fans. Sirianni yelling.
Now we've developed a theme. That's the problem.
He wasn't my ancestors. Mm-hmm. The old ancestors would be like, he touched. He's turched. They don't say touch. They say turched.
He's turched.
Yeah, he's turched.
Well, I need him to turch his way to a win on Sunday over the Giants.
I love this job.
Where else do you get to listen to Britney Spears and talk
about
football?
Every day, and use words like "terse" to everybody out there. Listen, like, what the hell does that mean? What is that?
I think once a day that happens on the show. All right, can we, we haven't done a little while here?
About Jerry?
Well, no, we'll get to Jerry. I think we need to do a little What If Wednesday based on what I heard yesterday. What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
I got one before you give the one that you want to
What do you got?
What? I don't know which way you're going. No, I'm going to let you get yours first because I would mess it up in case it's the same.
All right, how about we'll end with yours.
In case
yours.
I wasn't paying attention in the meeting.
We'll end with yours, all right?
In case I forgot. You know, sometimes, you know.
Well, that meeting was 3 hours ago, so that's a long time ago. All right, so I was listening to this yesterday, and it got me thinking about a what if. Obviously, what if Trey Turner, and what if this whole thing wasn't happening? But first, let's listen to yesterday. Good job, Tim Kelly. You know, he brought the facts at Dave Dombrowski. I don't think he handled them quite well enough. Here was the back and forth yesterday.
Dave, by old and new school metrics, Trey Turner has really struggled defensively since coming here. Will he remain at shortstop moving forward?
Well, when you say that, his metrics are very similar to what they were before he came here in many ways. So Trey has been, he will be our shortstop, yes. He's going to be our shortstop the coming year. But we also feel that sometimes you have to be careful with some of that. And I'm not sure which metrics you're using, but they're not always 100% the defensive. We rely on defensive metrics, but there's also not a perfect way of describing the defensive aspects of the game, as far as we know. He did not have not an outstanding defensive shortstop. He does have good range. He makes really good plays at times. But he also makes too many errors at points. But he has improved. He's worked hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to improve despite his age.
Well, in terms of errors, defensive runs saved, outs above average, he has gone in the wrong direction the last couple of years. Why do you think that will change as he ages?
Well, he works hard. I mean, first of all, he's the rare player, and one of the reasons when he signed for a long-term contract, he's very athletic. And so his speed is still very good. He's still one of the fastest guys in baseball, so I don't think you can compare his aging process to, let's say, the average player. But he's a guy that's just very athletic. He works hard. He's got a good infield instructor in Bobby Dickerson. We saw some strides ourselves this year on some things that he improved upon. So that's why I think he'll get better.
So it's a couple things there. One, heck of a job by Tim Kelly. I mean, I'm not sure if Dave realized Tim was had the numbers ready, and then he brought
did
it right
have
back.
The numbers ready.
Second thing, you know what falls on deaf ears? The he works hard thing. That's great. They all work hard. I mean, like, I expect, isn't that an expectation of a player like Trey Turner? He's of course he works
that
hard.
That was kind of the mantra when we met him. He was talking about how hard he worked and how he prided himself on his work ethic and all. Yeah.
I've never questioned that. I think Trey's trying his hardest. The problem is he's not very good at it. I mean, that's the problem. And I took issue with this. So Dombrowski responded by saying his metrics are similar to when we got him, but he really hasn't declined that much. So my thought is, and my question would be back then, why did you sign him to this contract? Why did you think he could play shortstop for 10 years or 11 years if you already kind of saw this that we are now seeing here as fans, you know, up close for 162 games a year? So that drove me crazy. So it made me think about today's what if, What if the Phillies never signed Trey Turner?
Then you would probably have, you know, nobody to be mad at all the time and complain about.
So
it.
I'd be happier?
Yeah, I don't know. You wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Be a different target.
That's probably true, too. Yeah, Kyle's right. We'd find someone else.
Well, he's in the crosshair. He would be in the crosshair.
You know what we would have? So last year, they offered Yamamoto $300 million, right?
Yeah, he didn't want to come.
Okay, but they offered it to him. So they have that money. They gave $300 million. What's 300 plus 300?
Six.
What's Soto going to cost?
More than six.
But six-ish.
But somewhere, six around. Uh-huh. There's somewhere you're going to be in that ballpark.
Just saying.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
What if?
I'm not mad at it.
What if? I think we'd be in a better spot. All right, what was your what if, Hugh?
My what if Coach Sirianni would have actually lost to the Browns Sunday? How would our Monday look, and what would he do?
Well, our Monday would have looked like Kellen Moore's the new head coach, because get this guy out of here.
I wonder how much, because I'm thinking now, because Coach Sirianni, in my opinion, he was clearly flummoxed before the game started. And he clearly went at a fan. My question is this. If they were losing, number one, does he go after the fan? And number two, if he does, how does that carry over into the press conference after the game?
Wait, go after the fan after a loss?
Yeah.
Oh, you might as well just
because,
put the resignation
in there. That's
then.
What I'm saying, because at that point, you know, you Jerry Jones in this thing now. You just blowing this thing all the way up. You know what I mean? Because that's where you are. Because you've lost. You're about to get asked some tough questions. I don't think the kids will be out there then, because at that point, you might as well come out at the press conference with your shirt off, dog, because this is a wrap. You might as well just go in, take your shirt off, and sit and have a cold one. Because your next stop is the crib.
Listen, if he shows up to a presser without a shirt on, just get the security officer to escort him out.
I mean, if I'm gonna go, unhinged, I'm going full on unhinged.
Well, after
you lost to the Browns, ain't nothing else.
You brought this up. Well, here's a what if for you.
Right.
What do you think would have been worse, the loss to the Browns or the week we had with the win? I think it's better to lose the game if you're him. Like, let's say, would he have gotten crushed more this week for losing a game? Like, coaches lose game all the time.
Definitely.
No, I think this is worse.
No, Joe.
Because if they lose, we could blame the defense.
No,
we could blame Jalen.
No, because he's going to catch a lot. Like,
I think this
is
worse than
a loss. We're still talking
about
him beefing with, like, he still cut his hair. That happened before the game was.
That's true.
And I'm saying, what if he's still beefing with, like, he was beefing with the fan?
Well, if they lose, he doesn't have the "I told you so" moment with the fans.
He doesn't, but the fans still yelling and screaming.
Right, but we don't know about
that.
Well, because
that's
probably just happening.
But
anyway,
he's probably still going to come unhinged.
Maybe,
it,
yeah.
It that probably still going to happen.
He's I'm still telling you, dog. I'm just saying, what would you rather for a whole week hearing people say about you nationally? You're bad at your job or you're a clown?
You know, I wouldn't, because I would have came. If it was me, I'm coming out my shirt off and a beer in my hand. And I'm going to drop a few, you know, colorful words because I know I'm done. Well, at that point, it's blown up, dog. It's a wrap.
I guess the audience now knows what Hugh's final show on WIP one day will sound like.
Why has the Cy Reddick been on four of the freaking football team?
Topless, drinking hand, curse of a storm.
If you're going to come unhinged, if that's my last day, my mantra is make it a memorable one. Go all in. Push some chips all the way to the end of the table.
This is why radio hosts usually don't get a last show, because of exactly what you just said.
I'm making it uncomfortable for everybody. I'm cursing on there. I'm calling people. Because at that point, I'm probably done in radio. I'm probably done, so I'm going to blow it up.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
But I'm not there yet. So, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not going to do it. But if I did, oh yeah, I'm going hard in the paint.
Well, you're actually making me more excited for the Sirianni press conference the rest of the season. What more could happen? Tune in. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take all your phone calls on the Phils, what you heard yesterday. Did it bother you? That press conference yesterday, specifically in Nebraska, I didn't really have a problem with Topper, what he had to say. I'm glad he's back. I'm a Topper guy as a manager. I wanted him back here. But it was Nebraska yesterday. A little flippant, and again, the quote, "It's not good, but it's not the worst," about their chase rate in the postseason, is such a non-championship quote. It's not good, but it's not the worst. How about we get to be the best? I mean, that's the goal. Figure that out. Elliot's going to join us next. He said something yesterday. We can't just let go the way it was. We got to investigate it more. Your calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.